You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
There is something about congregational life that adds to the spiritual vitality of the individual in a unique way that spending time alone with God does not do. I know that that sounds strange. Perhaps my primary emphasis is on our individual relationship with God, but I really do emphasize, as someone who has been leading a fellowship, pastoring for a number of decades now, I emphasize the corporate. I see so much beauty in corporate expression and in loving relationships that are strong enough to bring about a strong commitment to the Lord and to one another. One of the things that I've noticed in the Gospels is that Jesus called not just individuals, but people, groups, to himself. When I compare the number of times he spent discipling individuals with the amount of time that he spent discipling the 12 and then larger groups, I find out that his discipling activity was primarily corporate. He worked with these people, he fellowshiped with them. Speaking of the 12 now, he worked with them and fellowshiped with them as they grew spiritually. And one of the primary culminations of this was the revelation of who Jesus was. He's with them. He is relating to them. Out of their corporate fellowship and interaction with Jesus, they have a revelation. Peter speaks it first. He says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now, the revelation to this individual, Peter, took place in a corporate setting. And that is a pattern that we should not ignore. Many times, within the framework of a corporate setting where people are centered upon the Lord, focused upon Jesus, there is individual revelation about the nature of God which is going on that, when shared, becomes part of the corporate stewardship of that group of believers. Someone receives a revelation, and they share it in the presence of other disciples. Now, Jesus said that he would build his church. The church he was building had functions, and the primary function was that these were people that were to gather towards himself and his Father, gathering with one another, and then going out to serve. One of the most powerful illustrations of Jesus' relationship with the corporate is found when the Lord washed his disciples' feet. He washed each individual disciple's feet within the framework of a corporate setting. He washed their feet when they were gathered together to be with him. Ministry from the Lord to individuals takes place as people gather together to be with Jesus and with one another. Another thing which is necessary to take a look at, if we're talking about the value of that which is corporate, is that Jesus' voice is intended to be heard within the framework of a corporate setting as well as within the framework of one's individual devotional life with God, or just his voice to us as he is guiding us throughout our daily lives. There is something powerful that is supposed to happen when we gather together in fellowship. It is the flock which hears the voice of Jesus. The flock is gathered by the individual sheep hearing the shepherd's voice. But he said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There is a corporate following of the Messiah which is intended to take place, intended to be manifest within the corporate gathering of believers, people who love God so much that they want to worship him and they love the brethren so much that they want to worship the Lord together with the brethren. The Lord said in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered together, where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." What a remarkable promise. In what way is he to be there? Well, he is to be there releasing his authority to them and through them. He promises to be there discipling them, interacting with them. The Lord brought disciples with him in practically everything that he did, apart from his own private prayer and worship times with the Father, except at Gethsemane. At Gethsemane, they were close enough to Jesus that they would be able to hear his prayers. Of course, we know that they fell asleep. But think of this. Here it is, the Lord, in the most challenging, heart-rending time of his life prior to the cross. He is praying by himself, but he is praying with his disciples and asking them to enter in, praying concerning his destiny. There is an aspect of corporate intercession where we get together and seek God's heart pertaining to that which is most upon Jesus' heart. What is it that the Lord desires? Well, are we in corporate relationship with him? Are we able to discern what's on his heart? Are we able to gather together to, so to speak, fellowship with the great high priest and pray these things through? We really are to have this type of corporate dynamic. It is not something which is beyond us. Once again, Jesus' voice is heard in fellowship. What about individual prophetic experiences and prophetic words? Those things are supposed to be looked at together, scrutinized in the presence of God with one another. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, Paul instructed, "Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. Let the others evaluate it." Well, where are these two or three prophets speaking? They are speaking in a gathering of believers when believers who love the Lord and love one another are gathering. We can expect that the Spirit of God is going to be active in their midst and releasing immediate revelation about God's perspective, God's concerns, the heart of Jesus released to the church through the Spirit by the gifts of the Spirit. Did I say through the church? I did. And what I mean by in the church, through the church, is a gathering of believers to be with him, to be discipled by him, to love him, to adore, honor him, and to, with him, together with him, minister to the Father as the Messiah Jesus takes his place as the high priest of the people of God. Also, Jesus commanded those who love him to take care of other people. There is the role of the pastor. Within the framework of the pastoral role, especially within the context of people who believe in the ascension gift ministries in Ephesians 4, or what is called the fivefold ministry, people relegate the pastoral to individual concern and hand-holding. That is not the biblical role of the pastor. The pastor is a governance position, leading people to where it is that they can be fed. There is a feeding role, a teaching role, a getting alongside of individuals and groups and congregations, seeking to help them become developed as disciples, entering into their destinies that they may be able to both pursue the Lord and fulfill their callings. But pastor is just one of the roles within the framework of the fivefold ministry. Well, suppose that a group of leaders of a congregation, let's call them elders, are comprised of a variety of aspects of the fivefold ministry, of the ascension gifts. We have people with apostolic-like callings and functions and prophetic inclinations, and they seem to have that working in their lives a lot, and there's Also, there's even an evangelist working and involved with the oversight of the congregation, as well as pastors and teachers in this congregation. The entire group is supposed to be involved in not just simply equipping the believers for the sake of their entering into ministry, but they are to be helping the believers in their corporate spiritual life. These are the elders of the local or the regional expression of the Lord. And what are the local elders to do? They are to be watching over the flock of God. They are to be shepherding the people of God from a pure heart, from spirit-filled, holy, loving motivations in both reverence for God and enthusiasm for the purposes of God, the kingdom of God. Jesus was not kidding when he said to Peter, who was an apostle, evangelist, prophet. I mean, what did Peter function in? He called himself an elder, and he said, we elders need to shepherd the people of God. Where did that conviction come from? It came from his interaction with the Lord after Jesus' resurrection, where the Lord challenged him and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I really do love you. The Messiah says to him, well, Peter, take care of my people. Take care of my people. Equip them. Help them learn the truth and walk in the truth. Encourage them. Bring about order within the framework of the community that I am establishing. And the Lord is still establishing communities of believers throughout the earth. The individual who is cut off from local fellowship with people who are not just those with whom they may have a natural proclivity towards friendship, but there needs to be the supernatural grace of God, the fruit of the Spirit, insight from above into the value of their brothers and sisters, working together, functioning as a royal priesthood unto God, ministering to one another, serving others in the body of the Messiah, and going out and bringing the light of Jesus into the world. This is something which is a corporate function. The individuals come out of that which is corporate. Now, there is a shepherding role in the church. All right, we've gathered that. Now, there are those who believe that they are sufficient unto themselves for their own spiritual growth. Now, they may even be involved in attendance, but their hearts are separate from the corporate life. In Jude 1, verse 12, it speaks of people who are hidden reefs in their love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. This word, caring for themselves, means shepherding themselves. There are people who feel that they do not need the interaction of other brothers and sisters in their lives, especially those who they might be able to legitimately consider to be their elders. They have an issue with being mentored or instructed or guided by others. They are sufficient to themselves. And so they choose what they want to hear. They gather teachers via media or conferences, teachers, and it's practically like spiritual entertainment according to what it is that they are interested in. They do not have a balanced diet, and they do not have a relationship with other brothers and sisters in an ongoing basis that might perhaps maybe even be challenging. We are to be challenged. In fact, there is no intimate human relationship that does not bring challenge with it. There is no friendship that does not bring along with that friendship things which need to be overcome, overlooked, confronted. You understand? I mean, this is the reality of being a human being. People have to adjust to you. You have to adjust to other people. The people of God need to learn how to come together as the family of God, learning how to relate to one another corporately as they gather to the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So Why congregate? I think that one reason that people ought to be getting together to worship God is that we honor God by coming together to worship Him. Psalm 116, verse 18, the psalmist, coming out of a difficult time, says, I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. There's a desire to honor God in the presence of God's people that is resident within the heart of every truly spiritual brother and sister. They desire to contribute to the praise and the worship of God. They desire to offer thanks. Perhaps it's just something that they don't even share with somebody else, but they are grateful, grateful, grateful. And the place to offer that gratitude is not just by themselves, but in the presence of all His people. I might be challenged, what about solitary worship? Well, it is remarkably important. Yes, we honor God there, but that is the foundation of the corporate. And the corporate ends up strengthening the individual relationship with God. Now, here is something that was not written to a spiritual novice. It is good advice, but more than that, it gives a reason for gathering. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul wrote Timothy, now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Here, the reason given to congregate is to call upon the Lord. There are people that are seeking to call upon the Lord from a pure heart. They are calling upon the Lord in worship. They are calling upon the Lord in prayer. They are calling upon the Lord together. And believers are called to gather together with those of like mind. Purity of heart, they're calling on the Lord from a pure heart. Purity of heart has to do with the motivation of holy love. This is a love which is guided through the principles of the Scripture. A reason to call upon the Lord is because one desires God and one desires the kingdom of God to be manifest in the earth. Purity of heart is that which prepares individuals with that type of desire. Purity of heart is manifest by a sincere love for God and love for brothers and sisters. And the pure in heart are promised a full revelation of God. The Messiah said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart gather and call on the Lord. They begin to experience something of the age to come, a revelation of the living God. The pure in heart gather, they call on the Lord, they begin to see God. There is the ultimate seeing of God, when we shall know as we are now fully known. Yes, but right now, the believers who gather, pure in heart, calling on the Lord, they are guaranteed revelation from the Lord about Himself. The pure in heart are those whose hearts love God and want to exalt Him. Psalm 24, verses 3 through 5. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure, a cleansed heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Ascending to the hill of the Lord is something which each individual does in order to enter into a corporate worship experience. The pure in heart are free from idolatry and self-promotion. The pure in heart are promised blessing and vindication. The pure in heart come together. They are testifying of the goodness of God. They are praising God with others, and this strengthens them and it honors God. Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Oh, Lord, surely I am Your servant. I am Your servant, the son of Your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To You I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now here we see without a doubt a high value for corporate worship and corporate testimony. God, I bless you and praise you. You have been good to us. You have been good to me. I bless you. I remind my soul and I join in with the corporate expression which is received in heaven and noticed by the angelic realm, fallen and holy. We shall release the blessing that belongs to God that comes through believers who are gathered together because they have a desire to be with God and with one another. Part of spiritual reality is this. The writer to the Hebrews said, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel." When do they arrive there? Not just as individuals, but in their corporate gathering. In their corporate gathering, there is the nexus of heaven and earth. The praise and the worship of God that goes on in the corporate gathering is that which is in synergy with the glorious praise and worship that is going on in heaven. This is part of spiritual reality. This is part of why it is that I believe that we should be gathered together. First, Jesus calls people to himself. He spent time, primarily his time was spent discipling people within the framework of a corporate setting. Revelation came to individuals within the framework of the corporate setting, meeting with Jesus corporately, individuals getting revelation. People were cleansed individually within the framework of a corporate setting. He washed the disciples' feet, each disciple, within a corporate setting. The shepherd's voice is heard within the framework of fellowship. It is his sheep, a flock, who hear his voice and follow him. He guarantees that when believers gather together, that he would be there in their midst. His voice is heard through human shepherds, and Jesus commanded those who love him to take care of others, and that is not just for those who are called to vocational ministry. We are to take care of one another. We are to gather with one another, develop relationships with each other, and show mutual concern. There is a shepherding role that is in the church that is unique to the corporate gathering. People seeking to shepherd themselves are those who separate themselves, pursuing their own desires. They need to be involved with that which is corporate. In addition, we honor God by coming together to worship him. According to who? According to the psalmists, according to God who calls his people to gather together. Also, we are to gather together to the Lord to call upon him with others who have a pure heart. We are to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Are you doing that? I hope that you are. Have a revelation about this. This is something which pleases God, and it is with one another that we enter into the experience of our corporate identity as the people of God. And those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart, they are guaranteed a revelation of who it is that the Lord is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And those who gather to the Lord, having ascended, so to speak, the hill of the Lord, they receive a blessing from the Lord, this blessing being an illumination of who it is that God is. The pure in heart are those who love God, who love the brethren. They love God enough to worship him. They love the brethren enough to worship God together with them. The desire to praise God in the midst of the assembly is something which is part of the spiritual inheritance and life of the child of God. It is where we end up experiencing, or at least we are called to experience, the spiritual realities of heaven as heaven comes down in the person of the Spirit, as the Spirit of the Lord is released in and with and through our praise, the people of God entering into the experience of spiritual reality, seeing God, being inspired by the Spirit as they determine to praise and worship God, there ends up being a synergy of heaven and earth, and God begins to reveal himself to his people. I encourage you, get together with brothers and sisters within the framework of local and regional expression. Get together with brothers and sisters because you love God and you love them. Get together with them to worship God and to be discipled. It is part of your calling, and it is a great blessing to do that. You will honor the Lord, and as you honor God, God will honor you.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.